Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Corey Herthel, pastor of Grand Rapids Central and Lowell Riverside Fellowship Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Corey.
Hello, friends. I want to take a moment to share with you from God's Word. I hope, first of all, that each of you are doing well, that your health is good, not just your physical health, but your spiritual health, your walk with Jesus, that you're staying strong in your faith. Over the last couple of weeks, things have really shifted in our society, and we've seen just a difference in the way that day-to-day life functions. People are distancing themselves from other people. We're right now in the state of Michigan under an executive order to stay away from each other, to stay in our homes, to stay safe from this dreaded virus that's going around, that's spreading so rapidly. And during times like these, there's obvious potential that we could lose faith, potential that we could feel despondent, discouraged, worn down. But I want to encourage you, friends, that in times like these, we have even greater potential to evaluate our hearts, to look at our walks with Jesus, and to consider the great things that He's done for us, and not just the things that He's done, but the things He continues to do, and His promises that are ever so sure. You see, we've been called by His name. We've been called to trust Him. We've been called to live for Him. We've been called to be examples of His love to others. And even though now we have this order to socially distance ourselves from one another, to stay put, to avoid public places as much as possible, we still have the opportunity, by God's grace, to witness to His love and His watch care and His goodness and His blessings in our lives. You see, as I look through the Bible, there are many times where there are afflictions and trials, heartaches and hardships. And yet God's people rise to the challenge. God's people show the power of God even in the midst of all of these things. And friends, I want to encourage us to do the same. My mind is turned this morning to the Gospel of Mark, and I want to encourage you, grab your Bible and follow along with me this morning as we read along. Here in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, we find this story of a woman. We don't know much about her history. We don't even know her name. But what we find here is a woman who is suffering an affliction that, in my opinion, is nearly unimaginable. Let's go there just now. Mark chapter 5, in verse 25. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse." Now, friends, if we stop right there, this sounds like an absolutely hopeless situation for this woman. I can't imagine what it must have been like living in society in her day having this affliction. You see, not only would this have been a physical problem, but this would have had spiritual implications. She would have been considered outcast, unclean by society. If she was married, she would have been completely cut off and away from her husband. I can't imagine for 12 years. We're not talking 12 days. You know, we've just been on this quarantine, if you want to call it that, or this lockdown order, this stay-at-home order for the past 14 days. And I know some of us, including myself, are already feeling pretty stir-crazy, wondering what does the future hold? How much longer will this last? Is this going to be lifted on April 13th, like they say it will? Yet here was a woman who day after day after day for 12 years fought with an affliction that was not only something that was aggravating and annoying, but something that was draining the very life force out of her. She was losing blood steadily for 12 years. How she survived it was only a miracle by God. And yet she didn't completely give up. She didn't lose hope. This was an awful affliction. 12 years must have felt completely hopeless from a human standpoint, but this lady did not lose her hope. Instead, look at how the story continues. It says she just kept getting worse. Her health was getting worse. No doctor could help it. There was no cure. But then she heard about Jesus in verse 27. And here's where the beauty of the story comes together. She heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Here's a lady who knew something about Jesus. This was not just new information to her. She had heard about Jesus. She had faith in Jesus. She knew that there was a power to be found in Jesus, a power that could be harvested from Jesus through faith that could make her well. She says, "If I can just touch his garment, I'd be made well." So she gets there. She presses through this throng, this multitude of people. She comes up behind Jesus. She touches his garment. In verse 29, immediately it says, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that her affliction was gone. She was healed. And here's what I love about how Jesus does things. You know, Jesus waits on us to exercise faith in him. He waits on us to take those opportunities to say, "You know what, Lord? I know your promises are sure. I know I can rely on you. I know I can trust you with all my heart." He waits for those opportunities, because look at how he responds in verse 30. It says, immediately Jesus knew that power had gone out of him, and he turned around in the crowd and he says, "Who touched me?" Now here's, you know, friends, this is one thing I love about the personality of Jesus. He knew all along that this lady was thinking about him. Jesus knows everything. He knew that she was coming up behind. He knew who had touched him. But he wanted to give an opportunity for the goodness and the mercy and the love and the power of God to be highlighted and shown to the people around. So he turns around and he says, "Who touched me?" And listen to his disciples here. They've always got the answer, don't they? The disciples say, "Now look at this multitude that are thronging you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he looked around to see her who had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling in verse 33, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." You see, friends, what is so incredible about the love of God is that he waits for us to reciprocate our love and trust in him. He loves us so much, and his love never stops. You know, Jesus, in talking to his disciples, my mind goes to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, those first three verses there. Jesus is preparing, this was right after the Last Supper. Jesus is preparing the disciples for some trying times, times when their faith is going to be tested. They all pretty much died a martyr's death because of their testimony in Jesus. And he was preparing them to have faith to carry them through whatever affliction was coming, whatever trial was coming. And friends, through these stories in the Bible, you and I can have this same faith and assurance. We can make it through whatever trials come. We don't have to jump on the bandwagon of society's mindset and start ringing every alarm and getting afraid and losing hope and immediately running down the gloom and doom street. We can be smart about it. We can be aware, use common sense, and be aware of our surroundings and the things that are going on. But through all of these things, we can keep looking upward to heaven. Like this woman, we can go through afflictions and we can say, "You know, if only I can be close to Jesus, this affliction has nothing on me." Friends, where are you today in your walk with Jesus? Is the news that comes out every few minutes just totally consuming your life? Are you feeling dread and doom and fear? Or are you looking at this situation and saying, "You know, Lord, this is just one more step that we go through until you come again. And I know that no manner of affliction, no matter that comes across my plate here on this earth, has any ability to stop me from trusting you. Because we know that the words of Jesus are sure. Just like this woman knew that the power of Jesus was sufficient. You know, it was Paul that said that he had struggled with a thorn in the flesh. And through this struggle in his life, he felt pretty down at times. But then just in moments of weakness, just when he was feeling that crushing feeling of weakness, Jesus comes along and reminds him, my grace is sufficient for you. This woman, here in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34, she knew that his grace was sufficient for her. And she exercised faith in that grace, which then healed her and took away the affliction. Friends, I just want to encourage you to exercise your faith in Jesus today and every day. Yes, we don't know what's going to come at the end of what's happening right now. We don't know if on April 13th, our governor is going to get on the news and say, praise the Lord, the curve that's been going up, this steady incline of cases has now flattened or even begun to decrease. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know if she's going to get on and say that or if she's going to come on and say the opposite and say, no, friends, we're continuing to see a spike and we've got to stay shut down for the next however long. We don't know. But be of good courage. As Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Let's turn there just now to John chapter 14. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, here's the best promise ever. Jesus says, I will come again. And I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way. You know. We do know the way. Jesus is the way. He's the great physician that heals. He's the high priest that stands on our behalf, moment by moment, never ceasing to intercede for us. And friends, with a Savior and a Lord and a friend like we have in Jesus, we don't have to fear the future. There's nothing to fear. Matter of fact, we're told in inspired writing, the only fear that we should have is that we forget how God has led us in our past history. It's why we have the Bible. It's why we have all these precious books that God has inspired through his servant Ellen White. We have all of these resources to remind us of God's leading. That no matter what affliction comes along, no matter what trial, what struggle happens, we can make it. You know, just recently, just a few days ago, really, I was in Cuba with a team of missionaries. We had two teams. We were on the eastern side of Cuba. And we left one day before all of these things started to just break loose here at home. The Lord had a plan to get us in Cuba in time so that our trip didn't get canceled. And I praise God for that. But we were there and we were serving the people of the towns of Nicaragua and Pilon. And in these towns, these are very impoverished areas of Cuba. People have very limited resources, limited incomes. And it's also a very dark area when it comes to the message of the scriptures. But yet we made it there. And we were sharing with the people day in and day out. Early in the morning, we were having clinics. In the evenings, we were preaching the gospel and having children's programs. And each day the news was breaking of things going on in the United States. Each day there was potential for discouragement to come along. Two or three days into our trip into Cuba, we learned that the virus had made it to the island of Cuba. Some vacationers from Europe were there and happened to bring the virus along. I'm sure that was completely unwittingly and unintentional, but that did happen nonetheless. And so Cuba began to issue sanctions in each town that if there were foreigners, which of course we were foreigners, staying in Cuban territories and in Cuban properties, if you will, and I mean government properties, hotels and so forth, that we were to be monitored every morning and every evening for symptoms of the COVID-19 virus. Now you figure there were 35 of us there in the country with our two teams. And so my prayer was, Lord, please don't let the devil get his hand in this. Don't allow our temperatures to spike even a tenth of a degree that would cause an alarm. Because every morning they were under our arms, putting a thermometer, checking our temperature. Every evening before we could go in and turn in for the night, they would do the same. So morning and night, we were being checked as this thing was happening. And I just knew the devil was going to do everything he could to try and tear down this mission to get the word out. We were hearing from family and friends here back in the States that now this thing has happened and that thing has happened and this is shut down and that thing's shut down. The world's changing, we were hearing. But there in Cuba, we sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way. Our team prayed every morning, every evening, God, keep us healthy. Keep this virus away from us. We rebuked the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we said, Lord, please don't let anything disrupt your mission. And every morning and every evening, all of our team members maintained healthy temperatures and never exhibited even one symptom. And we praise God for that, because one symptom could have led to any one of us or all of us being subject to quarantine in a hospital somewhere there in Cuba. And I share that story with you because there was potential for us to get excited, for us to lose focus of our mission. There was potential there for us to start to major in something more minor than the work God had called us to do. And friends, I don't want to discount the severity of this illness that's going around. I've read the numbers. I see how many people across the globe at this point are afflicted with this problem. I've read the numbers and seen how many deaths have resulted as those who have gotten sick. But I also know that our God is bigger than all of this. I know that He has great things in store for us. And I know that regardless of what the outcome is, Jesus promises never to leave nor forsake us. And I know, just like the woman there in Mark chapter 5 that we just read about, I know that if we stay close to Him, He will carry us through this, as well as many other trials that are likely yet to come in this world. Friends, I just want to encourage you, be of good cheer. Exercise your faith every day. Let this time that we're in right now be a time where you're experiencing a deeper connection with Jesus than ever before. Get your Bible out every day and study those promises of Jesus. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness. We don't want to be that some that count slackness. We want to remember that whatever Jesus has said is sure, that His words can be trusted, that we can follow Him wherever He goes and know that He's going to lead us to victory on the other side. Do I think that this particular virus and this pandemic that's happened is the last straw before everything falls apart on earth? I don't know. I don't want to presuppose anything. What I want to do is I want to keep my mind focused heavenward. I want to follow Jesus and trust Him and know that whatever comes along, and He's got me, that He's on my side, that He will carry me through, and eventually He is coming again, friends. It's often said by Adventist believers, we need to do this and this and this so that Jesus can come. But friends, I'm here to tell you, we need to do this and this and this because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming one day soon. We don't know what day that is, but He's coming one day soon. And that should be one of the most glorious and hopeful things ever. So friends, in this time, where the devil would get you so distracted with what's going across the news every few minutes, not saying to ignore what's happening. Be aware of it. But don't let this consume you. Here was a woman that we read about that for 12 years had this issue in her life that was snuffing her life out little by little. Her physical well-being was completely depleted. But yet in her spirit, she was healthy. She trusted God and she knew His power. Friends, we can do the same. I want to share this little excerpt with you from the book Early Writings. This is in chapter 17, talking about prayer and faith. And listen to what Ellen White has to say here, page 72, second paragraph. She says, "True faith lays hold of and claims the promised blessing before it is realized and felt." You see, I think about this woman in Mark chapter 5 that we read about, and I think about her condition, and she must have felt pretty miserable. I imagine those who are dealing with the more critical end of this illness that's going on right now, this COVID-19, I imagine that they're feeling pretty miserable. And I don't know if somebody watching this broadcast right now is suffering personally with it. And if you are, know that God will put His hand on you. Put your faith in Him. And we are praying for those who are afflicted. But we have to know that true faith is when I claim the promise of God and I claim His blessing before I feel the difference. And that's what this woman did. And that's why Jesus could turn around in that crowd and look at her and say, "Woman, your faith is what made you well." It's because she trusted that she was already delivered before the delivery took place. Just like the three Hebrews in Daniel, when they're facing this fiery furnace being thrown in to what would look like certain ultimate death. Instead, they looked at the king and they said, "You know, throw us in the fire. Our God can deliver us from your hand." And they said, "Even if He doesn't, we're not going to follow what you say. We're going to follow what our God says." That's true faith. They believed in their delivery before they realized it. She goes on to say, "We must send up our petitions in faith within the second veil," meaning we send our prayers up into the most holy place where Jesus is, "and we let our faith take hold of the promised blessing and claim it as ours. We are then to believe that we receive the blessing because our faith has hold of it, and according to the word, it is ours." And she quotes Mark 11 here, "Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it," Jesus says. She says, here is faith, naked faith, to believe that we receive the blessing even before we realize it. When the promised blessing is realized and enjoyed, faith is then swallowed up. But many suppose they have much faith when sharing largely of the Holy Spirit, and that they cannot have faith unless they feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever rely on your feelings, friends. Trust the promises of God, just like Jesus did. The Bible says that His end time people will have the faith of Jesus in the end time. Not only will they be obedient because of their love to God, but they will have the faith of Jesus. That faith was exercised when Jesus felt the world's sin from past, present, and future crushing down on Him like the greatest weight ever, and yet He didn't give up. He went through to the cross for you and me. He died that death for you and me so that we could inherit His life. That's the kind of faith we have to carry us through all the trying times that this world would bring. So she goes on and she says, so many people, they don't think they have faith unless they feel the power of the Spirit. Such confound faith with the blessing that comes through faith. You notice what she says there? We confound our faith by saying that until I realize the blessing, until I see something tangible, I can't trust that God is working in my life. Friends, don't wait for that. Put your faith raw in Jesus. Trust Him even in the times where it's tough. Even in the times where you're going through difficulty, trust Jesus. And then when you see it come to fruition, then your faith is swallowed up in that. She says, the very time to exercise faith is when we feel destitute of the Spirit. When thick clouds of darkness seem to hover over the mind, then that is the time to let living faith pierce the darkness and scatter the clouds. True faith rests on the promises contained in the Word of God and those only who obey that word can claim its glorious promises. Remember what Jesus says in John chapter 15. It's right there in the middle of that time where Jesus is working with the disciples, getting them prepared for some tough times ahead. And he says, remember, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done to you. John 15, verse 7. He says, whatever you ask of him, you will receive, because you keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not be found despondent and discouraged. Don't let the current situation cloud your thinking. Don't allow society to alter your continued faith in Jesus. Let the Word of God ring in your mind and hearts. Remember that Jesus says, even until the end of the age, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that right now he's preparing a place for each one of us. It's an open invitation. And he wants us to constantly accept that invitation. And so friends, as you consider your walk with Jesus right now, as you think about what's going on around you, the things in the news, what's happening with this disease, when you look at your life, can you say, Lord, I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm not going to allow this affliction, this temporary thing, to take away and rob me of my joy in you. Are you going to be like that woman that presses through and says, I'm going to get closer to Jesus, and if I can just get close to him and be close to him, no affliction can hold me under his thumb? Friends, my prayer for you today is that you will have a real wellness in your faith, that your faith will be strong, and that you will realize above all things that his grace is sufficient, that he has you under his wing, and that no matter what the future holds, the near future and the distant future, whatever it holds, we are children of the King. We are called by his name, and his promises are sure for us today and forever. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you so much, Lord, that we have your word to rely upon. We want to thank you, Lord, that in spite of whatever happens in this world, whatever things come across our plates, whatever afflictions might rise up, whatever trials we might have to endure, that we have you by our side. Lord, right now, many people are suffering with an illness that seems to have popped up out of nowhere and has spread like fire across this earth. Many people, yes, have just mild symptoms, but Lord, there are several that are suffering in critical condition. Many people have lost their lives. People have lost family members now because of this. And Lord, it can be scary. It's concerning. It's alarming, Lord. But Lord, even in light of these things that are happening around us, we just pray for your strength and your comfort and your grace, which is sufficient to carry us through it. Lord, let us not get distracted. Let us not get derailed. That's what the enemy would want, is to use any little thing, any big thing even, to try to derail us. Let us remember that you're bigger than all these things, Lord, that you love us, and that you are constantly taking care of us. Thank you so much for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, for your love, for your mercy, and your watch care. For we pray these things with confidence, knowing that you are at work in our lives and always will be until Jesus comes again. We pray in his name. Amen.
You have been listening to Corey Herthel, pastor of Grand Rapids Central and Lowell Riverside Fellowship Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Grand Rapids Central Church at 100 Sheldon Avenue, Southeast in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Or visit the Lowell Riverside Fellowship Church located at 10300 Virginia Street in Lowell, Michigan, and their church service begins at 10:30 a.m. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.